number three. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Deborah Chapman, DPM, in case number 2153. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it in ARS 322234. Dr. Chapman, please come forward and introduce yourself and your attorney if represented by counsel.
Dr. Debbie Chapman.
And David Stoll, appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Chapman.
Thank you. Dr. Chapman, you received a letter informing you of matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you and placing your license on probation, with terms that may include continued education practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly, clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. Immediately, I have to remind the board members of that. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through the name. Dr. Wright, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, on October 5th, 2020, Bella Bear, a two-year-old female English bulldog, was presented to respondent for a laceration repair. The dog was anesthetized, the laceration was sutured, and the dog recovered. After lunch, the staff found the dog deceased in her home.
Dr. Chapman, I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth so help
me? Yes.
And I'll give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. During the June 16, 2021 hearing, you indicated that you no longer had any concerns about the investigative committee's mistaken conclusion that a pre-procedure examination had not been done. An exam was done within minutes of the dog's arrival and again before the procedure. As confirmed in the medical record, Bella arrived in the morning on October 5th, 2020. On presentation in the back, I conducted a physical exam at 8:20 a.m. and again immediately prior to starting the laceration repair at 9:30 a.m. recorded in the anesthesia log. The results of the exam are included in the medical record. The record includes my diagnosis of the lacerated lip, Bella's TPR, and my assessment of the dog's condition, namely that the results of my pre-op examination were all within normal limits. As a result, there was no violation of administrative regulation R3-11-502H2, which requires an exam within 6 hours prior of an anesthetic surgery. My exam was conducted within minutes of the procedure. With regard to the remaining concern surrounding the care provided to Bella following the procedure, she was continuously monitored, and it was in the course of this monitoring that we discovered that she had unexpectedly passed away. That was at 1 p.m. As you can see from the medical record, the laceration repair, which was only 3 minutes of anesthesia, was completed at 9:33 a.m. During the following 3.5 hours, Bella recovered in the kennel that is shown in the premise layout you have in your materials. The kennel is in open view at my practice, and my staff and I continuously look in on pets in the kennel as a matter of procedure. The kennel group is a hub of our practice. I also have a dedicated staff member who checks on pets in the kennels as part of her regular duties. As a result, there was no significant amount of time that transpired between 9:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. when Bella was not monitored. As you know, there is no requirement that we enter into the medical record every time a pet is monitored or observed. I estimate that there was never a time over 5 to 10 minutes when either me or one of my staff had not checked on Bella. On Monday, October 5th of 2020, there were 14 staff members present, including myself. There are 5 technicians, 3 kennel staff, 3 receptionists, 2 doctors, and an inventory manager, and we are all in and out of the kennel room, observing, checking, and checking on patients continuously. Everyone is on scheduled lunches that are staggered every 30 minutes, beginning at 11 a.m., so there's always staff present and checking on the patients. I myself was only off the property for 20 minutes and then back in my office on the premise. As we all know, bulldogs and other brachiocephalic breeds are problematic and can and do die unexpectedly. And just because they do, that doesn't mean that there is a lack of monitoring or other breach of standard of care. Unfortunately, we will never know what caused Bella's death because we do not have a necropsy report. Also, there is nothing to suggest that the outcome of Bella would have been any different even if we had been right there. Again, I sympathize with the owners and their family and their loss, and am now available to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. And I'd like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Chapman.
I have a few questions. So you used a bag as a pre-med on this dog. Do you routinely use atropine on bulldogs?
Bag doesn't have atropine in it.
I'm sorry, not atropine, acepromazine. I apologize, acepromazine. I'm sorry.
Yes.
That's glycopyrrolate instead.
Yes.
But the acepromazine, do you routinely use it on bulldogs?
Yes.
Do you ever have any issues with the elongated palates and breathing afterwards?
We've never had any issues with it. I've used it for the 25 years I've been in practice.
Okay. And going through the notes, you're right. You don't have to note every time you check on a patient. The last notation we have is the 9:35 before the 1:20, where we said the patient was found deceased in the kennel. But in that note, it says that the patient was alive around noon before that, so that's an hour gap. But you said that there are no more than 5 to 10 minutes in between. Can you explain that discrepancy in the medical?
We go through and check. So I walked through the kennels before I left at noon, and I look at every patient, and I specifically look at Bella. She looked at me. She picked her head up. She was, you know, alert. She was certainly quiet. I mean, but I walked through all of them. The staff, when they leave for lunch, so the first technician leaves at 11, then one leaves at 11:30, and one at noon, and one at 12:30, and so they're altered. Part of their routine, when they come back, everybody walks through the kennel room and checks on the patients. So, not needing to put it in the medical record every time we walk through and observe and check on a patient. So, Lindsay, who was the technician who had checked Bella in and who was on, helped with the surgery and was the one who found her, she went to lunch at noon and she came back at 1, and that's when she had found her. But there were people in and out of there all the time, and they all walk in through, look at all the patients, check, you know. And so the technician who goes to lunch at 11, she's actually in the kennel room for almost usually 30 to 40 minutes filing papers. Our main filing cabinet is there, and she said that she walked through there and was right there by Bella's thing, and she was snoring the whole time she was in there filing all the papers.
So in the 2.5 hours from the surgery stop time to lunchtime, had she gone out to go potty? Had she sat sternal, stood up on her own?
She was sitting sternal before we even put her back in the kennel. So she was returned to the kennel at 10:15, as is noted in our anesthesia log, and we don't put any bulldog or pug or Frenchie or anything back in the kennel until they're able to sit sternal and raise their heads.
So when's the last time she was seen alive?
She was seen alive. The technician who filed said that she was snoring by her, and she was in the, she knows that she was alive by like 12:40 because she was in there filing. And so the technician who came off and got back at 12:30 walked in through there, and everybody was alive. And so, like I said, there were people in and out of there. Lindsay, when she came back on, so again, I would assume no more than 5 or 10 minutes in between when somebody had walked through there and looked, the receptionists are back there, and they go back there when people call and to check on things, because people are constantly calling and, you know, checking on their patient or their animals and seeing how they're doing.
Okay. Now, in the picture that was submitted here, it's not everything here, but we have recovery. So she was in recovery the entire time, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's a door there, it looks like. I mean, is that opened up so you can actually see it?
It's
a separate
open
room? No, it is. Wait, is it a separate room? Is it walled off? I mean, or is that open in the actual, where you're actually here? You can see them when you look over here, do you have to walk through that room to see?
No, it's all open.
So, I mean, so where's the treatment area in relation to this picture that I'm seeing here?
The treatment's on the other end of pharmacy.
Okay, so treatment's away from where, okay, so that's away from where the recovery is.
Correct.
You're not seeing direct, you have to actually walk through.
Right.
All right, so those are my main questions.
I have a couple of questions. How do you end up, or maybe you can just tell me what you said to the owners about the risks of anesthesia?
We have a form. So this is COVID situation, and we never went curbside because we just don't, we're a small rural town. We don't have the facilities or the thing, and we tried it a couple times, and things were worse. And so we allowed clients to come in and drop their pets off, and the staff meets with them and goes over all the information. Bella was not on our surgery schedule. She was a drop-off because she was an emergency, and so the staff goes over the form. There's a form that they read that discusses the risks of anesthesia, and they sign that form.
So it's dependent on the owners actually reading the form because nobody's actually talking to them about it?
The staff is instructed to talk to them. I'm not there. Everything goes over so that we point out those things, anesthetic risks, specifically in everything, that there's never any guarantees that, you know, when it comes to anesthesia, absolutely, they're all supposed to go over that.
And then it was noted in the response that this dog developed a breeding pattern, elongated soft palate. I'm assuming that was diagnosed when he went to start anesthesia, but right. I don't see that documented anywhere in the medical record. Can you kind of point out to me where that was in there?
My staff types, I mean, I dictate to them as we're going through surgery, and they write that stuff down, and it did have an elongated soft palate, and I agree, it was not in the record, and that is something that we have addressed specifically for all of the breeds, that we need to do a better job on making sure. We always assume that, and in our assumption of that, it really doesn't get put in the record. Because I specifically told, as I was intubating the dog, looked at the technician who was doing the taking, this dog has an elongated soft palate, and we need to talk to the owners about that they need a soft palate resection on that. She was not one of our patients. Her regular vet, she'd been spayed and had other surgeries at a different vet clinic.
So the owners were not real impressed with the she passed away before you talked to them about it, but if it wasn't in the medical record, would that still have been something that would have been discussed with the owner?
It was. It would have been when they picked up, because I told the reception desk that when they came to pick her up, I needed to visit with them because she did have an elongated soft palate.
I don't have any additional questions.
Thank you. Anybody on the phone have questions? Any, I believe my questions were answered between the initial statement and some of you guys' questions. Okay, so we will now hear from the complainant. Please come forward and introduce yourself. Do you want to get this other chair and take that on?
And I'm Shane Tour.
Thank you. And you are the complainant in this case, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
We've read the materials you provided, and you may address the board.
So we come before you today just to ask you to look into the neglect that was performed on Bella. She was not her normal vet. She's the vet in the town that we live in, and I contacted her on October 4th after Bear got a laceration to the lip, feeling it was an emergency. And she asked for pictures. She said, bring her in tomorrow morning, being Monday the 5th. And I brought her in. She said, as long as the bleeding was controlled, we were okay to wait overnight. Showed up to her very busy vet clinic of lots of drop-offs for morning surgery. Never saw her face-to-face ever. Never went over an anesthetic form, was just signed, said they took Bear to the back out of his arms with Bear walking backwards looking at us. Came forward and said, Dr. Chapman said they needed to be sutured and they would have to put her under for a little bit. I myself as a nurse thought maybe conscious sedation. I wasn't sure. It was small. I thought it would be a few sutures. I wasn't thinking the whole intubation process, and this was never ever once brought to my attention that that's what it would be. I did call at about 10:30, 11, because I'm an anxious pet owner. They're my kids, not my dogs, to see how she was doing. I was told she was doing good. So I asked, can I pick her up? The procedure was about 5 minutes. I can monitor her at home. She said, no, they have to stay until after 2 o'clock. So in my mind, with the consent form that I signed, somebody's watching them. When she called me just before 2 o'clock, it was about 1:45, I got a call and she just paused on the phone and said, I'm sorry, after we all returned from lunch, we found Bella Bear dead in her kennel. I immediately hung up because I was crushed and I had to get it together. Called back to see if we could come say our goodbyes and see her or what she thought would happen. And she told me that it was an allergic reaction or something to the anesthetic. But Bear had a much longer procedure with those same medications when she was spayed and took claws removed. We were never informed of the elongated palate. She never paused to call and ask if we wanted to go along with a few sutures with an elongated palate. And I feel a professional should call when they find something that serious. And when you find something that serious, your dog should be monitored around the clock. And I couldn't pay anything in this world for her monitoring. Once we arrived to say our goodbyes to Bella, Dr. Chapman still never once even approached us. She never came in the room. Her vet tech did everything. There's never been any sympathy, sorry, we're gonna correct this or we're gonna do that. In fact, the clinic was closing and she was on the other side of the door laughing with her staff members, having a good time closing up clinic. And I just feel that's absolutely wrong. And I feel my dog was completely neglected and not taken care of at all. And we were never informed.
I just have to say, and I know you've heard her story again and again, but she just completely changed her story. I mean, it just completely changed to where the dog was monitored. We saw the dog at 12:40. These things were not said. I had a meeting with her specifically for some closure to find out what happened. She basically told us that the dog hadn't been seen in 55 minutes. They had no idea what happened to the dog. She told me point blank, if it was her dog, she never would have done the procedure that was never relayed to my son. That would have healed with a scar. But some people like their, I'm never gonna forget her saying, some people like their dogs pretty. It was never about being pretty. If they would have told, look, we think this will heal fine, we think that the dog has an elongated south paw and should not have a procedure done, they would have taken that dog home. She told me and my husband that people don't like to pay for people to watch the animals. She's a rural vet, I get that. She says she tries to keep her prices lower. Monitor. I mean, it means to watch, to observe, to listen, to check for a specific amount of time. When you're told your dog is being monitored, you believe that your dog is being watched. I asked her, if the dog hadn't been seen for 55 minutes, what happened to the dog? Was it at 5 minutes that the dog expired? Was it at 10? Was it at 20? How long was Bella there gasping for air or through the vomit? Whatever happened to Bella? And this was not just her. The technician told my daughter-in-law that they hadn't seen the dog in 55 minutes. It's like the last time that dog was seen was at 12 o'clock. She sat in the office with me and my husband and just kind of was like, it was so lack of sympathy. I've never seen anything like it ever. She said, I've had dogs die. It's an emotional time. It's a family member. You guys are all vets. You know how people feel about their pets. We just wanted some closure. I wanted to know. First, she says an allergic reaction. She said upstairs last week and said this had nothing to do with anesthesia. They said the dog was awake and doing well. Dana would have taken the dog home and it probably would have been alive right now. She's a registered nurse. I'm floored that she sat here like that. I was very upset last time we were here. She said she wouldn't change anything and she stood behind everything she said. There were so many things that could have been changed that would have saved Bella's life, and we want to save another dog's life. And I would have respected her more if she got up here and just said, these are the things that we did wrong. And I will tell you what she did wrong. First of all, she didn't meet with them, and she didn't tell them that, look, this is a bulldog, and maybe you shouldn't even do this. If it was my dog, I wouldn't do it. She could have stopped at the elongated soft palate when she told my husband that it was extremely difficult to get the tube in, and she's glad it was her and not one of the younger vets, because she's done it before, she said. So at that point, when it was difficult to get that tube in, could she have stopped? Yes, she could have stopped. The third thing is that dog could have been monitored. Monitored, because that's what it means. And when people hear monitored, they believe that their loved one is being monitored, watched, observed, listened to. That's what we believed. She said the dog wasn't monitored, and now she's backpedaling, saying, oh, it's an office, the door was open, we checked, we don't write it down. None of this stuff was told to us. It was told to us that flat out the dog had been alone for 55 minutes, they went to lunch and nobody knew. Technician told us that, she told me and my husband that. I'm just floored, it's just backpedaling. And you know what, like I said, respect, just please, tell us what happened. Tell us that I made mistakes and we're changing. The only thing she said she's gonna change is how they write down things. I mean, it's like so many things can be changed. This is a, there's not many vets in this area, okay? People rely on her. This is not a single incident. There are people we have talked to. We're begging them, please come forward. You know what? She's on the school board. People are like, oh, well, you know, she's on the school board and they don't want to mess with things. It's like if people don't speak out, there's no change. What Dana and Shane want is change. They want another person not to go through this, not to get a phone call that was so unnecessary, because we believe that this was complete neglect and that Bella, a two-year-old beautiful bulldog that my son called his best friend, when he called me, I've never heard sobs like that from him since his grandmother died. I was heartbroken, and really honestly, when I went in there, I mean, this is my honest thing, I went in there to get some answers for him, to go back and say, this could have been prevented, honey. This is just, it's like something I don't know what to tell you, but this is what happened, and that's just how, you know. But when I was there, I was literally shaking when I left, and I was shaking over there when she sat here and made excuses for what happened and lied. It's just flat out lying when you suddenly remember that I only left for 20 minutes. That's funny because she told my husband that she went to lunch. She was gone for more than 20 minutes. I'm sorry, and I don't want to be emotional because I don't want this to get lost in emotion. I want something done, and it can't. a slap on the hand. I listened to her in the hallway talking to another vet saying, this is just, this, don't worry, it was a young vet, it was like 2 times ago. Oh, this happens, you know, there's a little, like it's just like a thing. I don't know how many times she's been here, but I've seen her at least twice. And I've talked to people, and I'll continue. And if we have to just make sure that these things get reported, then I don't understand why people aren't reporting things. I don't get it. School board, not school board, small town, everybody's like, oh. You know, she wants to keep her prices low. Heck, I'm all for keeping your prices low. But if you would have said, because she said, nobody wants to pay to have someone stand and look over their pet. If they would have told them that, they would have said, whatever. They were going to bring her in on a Sunday. They, you know, like, it's emergency care. These kids pay for whatever for their animals. And the best dog owners I've ever seen, hands down, in my life. He wanted a bulldog since he was 5. I couldn't afford to buy him one. His wife went out and bought one for a wedding gift. And it was the most cherished animal ever. It was loved by so many people. And I can't just let her life be gone. Just be like, it's gone. And you know what? We're sorry this happens. Because that's what she told my husband. It happens. Kind of like, you know, happens. Dogs die. She's had dogs
Excuse
die.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry to interrupt. One of our board members got dropped from the call. So before you continue, we just want to get her back on.
Oh, that's
I'm
fine.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Thank you. Just pause.
Just thought she was my best friend.
I know.
And we were like chickens.
Okay.
Nikki, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, I'm going to conference you in.
What's about Jessica?
Jessica, are you still on the line? Jessica?
Good question.
Just checking.
So Nikki, I'm going to put you on hold for a second while I...
Okay.
Jessica as well. Conference you in.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. I'm sorry, Richard, I'm doing this.
Bella was my best friend. When my mom went to go talk to Debbie Chapman, it was originally just to pick up the ashes and kind of see, you know, what they thought happened, right? I just needed closure. I couldn't go in the parking lot. I stayed in the parking lot for half an hour, bawling. And my mom went and got these ashes. When her and my dad had that conversation and came out, my dad didn't even want to tell me because he knew how angry I would be. And I am. And I'm not a grudgeful person. I will always hold a grudge for this. This dog was very special to me. She sleeps on my bed, on my pillow. We did everything for her. And I just know that I would still have her if I took her to our normal vet, or if she would have just came out and said, hey, this is gonna heal by itself. We don't need to do stitches. But none of that was said. So it's just, I don't wanna see other people go through this. I think it's nonsense to sit here, and when I was sitting back there and listening to her, all her lies that she was feeding you guys to try to keep her license, she's a horrible person. She might have been a good vet at one point, but she is terrible right now. And she does way too many procedures. We walked in, and I couldn't even bring my dog in because there were 30 people in a small waiting room, smaller than this little cubicle area here.
During COVID.
And I just want my dog back, and I'm never gonna get that. But I want justice for my dog. I'm not a normal person. I don't have a bunch of friends that I hang out with. I hang out with my dogs.
I have to say, their vet is in Globe, and Shane has so much guilt because he said they should have waited, but what had happened was it was on a Sunday, and they called her, and they actually even thought maybe it would be nice to at least have an emergency vet closer to where they live, and then their vet was closed on Monday, and you can't imagine the kind of guilt that he goes through thinking we should have just waited because we trust our vet. And you know, she's like, everybody knows her in town, and she's been there for years, and you think like, it's do no harm, right? I don't know if that's the same oath they take like doctors, but she did a harm. I mean, this harmed him. He and Dana have gone to the same vet, and they made a choice. And he said, "Mom, I can't believe I watched my dog turn around and look at me." And I said, "It's okay, Bella. I'll see you in a few minutes," because he thought they were going to bring him back. He didn't know this vet. He thought they were going to bring him back and talk to him. And then they just came back and said, "Oh," and it wasn't even the vet, "we're going to do this." It's like Dana said, they just didn't even know it was like a incubation or anything. It was stitches. And the reason they even brought Bella in was because Bella plays rough with their other dogs, and they were worried it was going to keep, like, you know.
They got a tug of war match. They weren't, she originally said that they were being aggressive.
Right,
they weren't being aggressive.
Right, it wasn't.
They were playing tug of war and trying to go grab it.
She did. She made it sound like that it was another animal, or they went to a, like, it was just their animals, and they play like that. And they were worried that maybe it might, you know, continue to break open. Like, that's why we care about Scar. We care about anything like that. And more than anything now, we have regret.
We just want justice.
They want justice for Bella.
They need closure for her.
And they want justice for other dogs in this community. There are people just, I don't know, like, just going. She needs to make changes. Something has to change. You can't have this many people coming to a place when, even during COVID, my husband and I went to walk in, and it was, I guess, pickup time for surgeries. And there's so many people around, so I'm like, I don't even feel comfortable going in there. You know, it's COVID. Nobody's wearing masks. No one's nothing. So I'm just saying, if you aren't following those restrictions, I don't know what else you follow. So please, I'm just really, really begging you. You guys are professionals, that you know. And if another dog like Bella dies, we'll just be heartbroken. Because we've heard stories, and it's not all about dogs dying. It's just about things that have happened there. So we're here for Bella. You know, Dana literally is due in a week. She's been here every time.
Sunday.
I tried to get them to stay home. They live in Sapphire. I came from Pine Top. We've been here every time. This means so much. This is not.
So we need to wrap this up.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
Information to share. I mean, we know about your emotions and feelings, but no, information pertaining.
Just that she was neglected, and that we should have been contacted when additional medical issues with my dog were found.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think every time we've given you the information.
It's neglect. I mean, I don't know what else it goes for neglect. Other than that, if you find another problem, if this would have been a human, they would have said, "Hey, we found other complications. We're going to stop this, and we'll go discuss with the parents." Like this is our kid, right? So if my kid has a problem during just set up for the procedure, I would hope they would let me know, like, "Hey, we found another complication. We're going to wait and you know, address this part first before we do this," or give an alternative, like, "Hey, medicine might work," something like that. It's neglect. I don't know what else it would be. If this happened to my new child about to be, the doctor would lose its license and probably be sued. Like it's just crazy. But
can I just say something else too? Just one thing. No, because I want information.
One more.
This one more thing. She informed me and my husband, and me and my husband only, about the elongated soft palate. It's not in the medical records. It's nowhere. She didn't tell them. The only reason that we're even bringing up this is because she told me and my husband about it. And if she hadn't told me and my husband about it, you guys wouldn't even know. We wouldn't even know because it's not in the medical records. So that's all I have to say. I'm done. And I thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Any board members have questions for your time? Anybody on the phone?
Yeah, this is Mickey Frost. How you doing? Regarding Bella, you know, being dropped off, did you go over an estimate of services, like itemize what was going to happen during her procedure?
No, I never even asked for what the estimate would be. It was never a question in my mind. I was willing to pay what I needed to pay. I did think it was going to be more expensive as I had activated the emergency line on Sunday, and then we brought her in Monday for the procedure like directed, but no estimate or money was ever discussed in this case.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, you step back.
Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you so much for your time.
Dr. Chapman, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
Yes. I shouldn't have to tell you this, but I will. You need to judge this case on its own. The owners we're talking about, we've heard stories and making allegations and disparaging comments about Dr. Chapman and the fact that she's on the school board, which is an admirable thing in my book. But you're to judge this case based on only the evidence in this case and not all this extraneous information, disparaging comments about her. And the issue before you is whether the monitoring in this case was reasonable, and I submit to you that it was. Monitoring does not mean continuous, uninterrupted, direct observation, which is apparently what the complainants want you to believe. Keep in mind, this was a procedure involving three stitches. In human medicine, if somebody were to go in for three stitches and then have to wait for a period of time to be picked up, they wouldn't hire somebody to sit there and stare at them and watch them uninterrupted monitoring the entire time. It's whether or not it's reasonable under the circumstances. And contrary to what the complaint said, everyone didn't leave for lunch. You heard Dr. Chapman say on that day there were 14 staff members present, including herself. There were 5 technicians, 3 kennel staff, 3 receptionists, 2 doctors, and an inventory manager, all that were in and out of the facility. And I know you've had this case before, and because I've had this case numerous times before the board, where they'll look to the layout, and it's one of the first questions they ask is, what was the layout? Were they in direct observation? Because that's the reality of how pets are monitored following a 3-minute procedure like this. And the unequivocal evidence is that this dog was continuously looked at and observed throughout the 2.5 or 3.5 hours during following this procedure. In fact, Dr. Chapman testified there was never a time over 5 to 10 minutes when the dog was not looked at. And even during the time immediately prior to when it was found to have passed away, there was someone in there doing paperwork, hearing the dog breathe. And so we know the dog was monitored. It was appropriately looked after. And again, another case, these cases, you have so many cases involving bulldogs and brachiocephalic breeds. And things like this happen with those breeds despite the monitoring and veterinary medicine that complies with the standard of care. And in those cases, as hard as it is, they've been dismissed with no violation. And that's what we're asking in this case. I don't know if you want to say any more or respond to some of those comments.
I understand that they're concerned with the elongated soft palate. Like I mentioned before, this was not one of my patients. I'd never seen her before. as you as veterinarians know, until you open that mouth, I mean, for all I know, when she was spayed, maybe that procedure had already been done. We don't, I mean, you don't know until you go to intubate them what it's going to look like back there. I don't use Domator, Dexdomator, on my bulldogs anymore after having several of them. Their blood pressures plummet and coming to near death things. So I always choose to fully anesthetize and place an IT tube just for that reason, so that they have a patent airway until they're able to pick up their head and sit sternally, just to try and eliminate some of that stuff. So to not perform the procedure after opening, after giving anesthesia and seeing that we had an elongated soft palate, in my opinion, would have been horrible. I mean, that would have been negligence, if anything. We kept the dog and monitored the dog post the thing until she was sitting sternal and could pick her head up, which is what we do with all of our brachiocephalic breeds, just because we know that they struggle. When I spoke with Mrs. Truer and her husband in the peak busiest time of our day, and I understand everybody has their own thoughts on COVID. We are the only vet clinic in a 2-county area. We didn't ask to be that. We don't want to be that. It's just how it is. There's nobody, it's just what it is. There are so many pets there that need help, and we do our best to get them helped for and get things taken care of. And my team is incredible. And when I told Mrs., when we sat there and I said that she had been looked at, I myself had not looked at her, and the technician. At the time, I didn't realize I was going to have to come here before the board and defend and to know all of this. It's only after all of this has progressed that I've gone through, that I went back, went to who the staff that was on call, and specifically sat down and said, okay, so this is what's going. Do you have any memories of this? You have things going, so that I knew, because I know the policies that I have in place for this. But those of you who work, you know, you can't be every place at one time. And so I asked, all, you know, were you? Did you walk through? Have you done this? And because she's a bulldog and snoring, all of them were like, yeah, she was snoring. She picked her head up. She looked at us. You know, the one who was in there for like 40 minutes filing said she snored the whole time that I was in there filing. And so I understand that they're devastated. I have lost one of my own dogs while I was spaying her under anesthesia. I know what it feels like for sudden death of your patient, the unexpected, the no preparation, the horrors of it. I understand that. We did everything we could for her. We kept her longer, we kept her in recovery, we did everything we could to help her. And in reference to me being on the other side of the door laughing, I was in the equine barn on an emergency. I wasn't even in the small animal part of the clinic when they came to visit the dog later in the afternoon, like 4 hours after, 3 hours after I had notified them that the dog had passed away. I wasn't even inside. Our horse barn is about 50 yards, you know, back behind the clinic. I was there on a horse emergency. The staff never came and told me that they were there. They should have. It didn't happen, but I wasn't even in the practice at the time that they were there visiting the dog.
Two other things. Again, I just want to remind you, we don't have a necropsy report. We don't know what the cause of death was. And then the second comment, the owners were critical about the number of clients that were in the lobby and COVID protocols weren't being followed. This occurred in October 5th of last year. The COVID protocols at the practice didn't go into place until they weren't mandated until
our county did the day after Thanksgiving.
It was in November, so they weren't. I just didn't want you to kind of find out. Thank you.
If board members have any more questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, brief one. For your lunch scheduling for staff, is it rotational? Does everybody have a set amount of time, or does everybody go all together? Or
no, they. It's at a set time. It's scheduled. It's There's five technicians. The first one goes at 11. All the other four are still there. The second one goes at 11:30. There's still three technicians there. The first one comes back at 12. The next one leaves. Then 12:30, the one comes back, the next one leaves, and then 1 o'clock. So they're all staggered, so that there's always, I mean, we're, that there's always staff there.
Okay, thank you.
There's always three out of the five.
Correct.
This is Nikki Ross, I do have a question.
Yes.
So for Bella, you know, the complaint has stated that you thought you should have just there for futures, so you can see the consent form that says the date, you know, for futures. And then she was intubated, which, you know, makes sense for a bulldog, but she was also given gas anesthesia. So how do you differentiate sedation versus anesthesia, and, you know, updating clients for that, and then also the requirement to provide a written or a verbal estimate for the client? Like, what kind of conversation happens with that informed consent?
Yeah, and we did, as far as with that at the time, because of the COVID going around, the staff was trying to get people in and out of the lobby as quick as possible. And we did have several of the different consent at various times over through the whole course of the year, depending on how many people were coming into the door, increasing the stress on the staff, trying to get people in and out as quick as possible. I mean, I'll be honest with you, there were times when they did not write down or inform on the amount of time that, or, you know, the amount that it was gonna be, the estimate, just trying to get people in and out the door.
And then also on the difference between sedation and anesthesia.
Yeah, and again, that was one of those things, because it was a drop-off, the anesthesia part, I guess, the because it was a drop-off, the receptionist who took it, or the technician, they never, when I saw the dog up there, and I told them we were gonna have to anesthetize the dog, and so, but they wrote it on the paperwork, so when they fill out the form. So that's just, again, it is absolutely something that we need to get to where we're, they understand the difference, that there's a difference between sedate and anesthesia.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions from board members? Seeing none, step back, and this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
All right. So these are always hard situations because, I mean, the patient passed away. And we had to determine, was there a problem with this? Was it a unfortunate accident that just nothing could have been done, or what's going on? Looking through everything and going through this, and looking at the committee's proposed conclusions, I do agree that it looks like a procedure or an exam was performed. I mean, there was notes in there within normal limits, all this. So, I mean, I'm satisfied with that portion. I don't think that there was an issue with 3222, 3221, when it goes to the 6 hours for anesthesia for the exam. So I think I'm okay there. But the procedure itself, I don't necessarily see the issue with the procedure. I mean, there's different medications that you can argue. Maybe things would have changed based on different picking of anesthetics or pre-medications. But again, I can't necessarily fault anything going on there, the procedure itself. Again, I can't fault. An elongated soft palate is a very common thing. Every bulldog has it. Unless it's been surgically corrected already, it's gonna be there. That's just a breed standard thing. Should that have been notated? Yeah. Would that have changed anything, especially at that point? No. I still think that the procedure itself was good. It's after the fact. That's the problem, is the recovery phase. And that's where my main issue is ultimately this patient did die. And was it something that nobody could prevent it, or was it some negligence going on there in recovery? And that's where I'm having the issues, is I think there is some negligence going on here. I don't think this patient was monitored to the level it should have been. So I definitely would like to see what everybody else's opinion is on that. But I don't, going through here with the malpractice and the justification for that, I don't see malpractice as an issue. I see more negligence as an issue here. So thoughts?
I mean, I hear what the veterinarian's saying, and that after this happens, right, you go back and you ask staff who saw it, but when was it? Okay, to me, that's not monitoring. Somebody doing paperwork in there and going, oh yeah, I kind of remember that, I'm sorry. That's not monitoring, right? That's not what we talk about when we talk about monitoring. And when I go back to the medical records, and it says the technician made rounds after lunch. So they were on set rounds after lunch at 1 o'clock. The patient was found deceased. The patient had already died, it was deceased. Had been alive in kennel around noon when the technician went to lunch. So I understand that there might have been people in there from 12 to 1, but the technician that clearly was, that we've documented in the medical record, last saw it at noon and saw it at, according to the medical record. That's what I'm going off of. So, I mean, I think the monitoring is a concern. I also think that there were some comments made as far as if this were a human, you wouldn't expect somebody to be sitting there monitoring them. But if this were a human that needed 3 stitches, we wouldn't have gone under general anesthesia. And we definitely wouldn't have gone under general anesthesia in a high-risk human that might be 80 years old with asthma or a bulldog with an elongated soft palate. So it's not a comparable thing. You can't make that comparison. I find that frustrating when we do that. I also would say...
Now that being said, I don't think anesthesia was a wrong choice in this, because I think anesthesia in itself is the safest way of dealing with this.
No, I don't either.
But I agree with you.
I think it's more along the lines of the monitoring. Mm-hmm. You can't compare the two. That's not accurate.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is it was noted that, you know, we all know valid breeds are high risk. I don't really feel like that was explained to the summer. I know we all put it on our technicians to explain things, but in this situation with so many people and so many things being admittedly, we didn't do an estimate. We tried to get people in and out as fast as possible. We were moving people through. There were a lot of people there. I don't think that there was a lot of discussion around the risks associated with anesthesia, which in a brachycephalic dog, I absolutely think is necessary. So I'm a little concerned about that. But then even the post-op on a brachycephalic, they're front center. I mean, last documentation at 10, whatever,
yeah.
And then saying there's this whole 12 to 1 o'clock that no one was there.
Well, they don't say the dog is snoring, which is telling you right there's some airway restriction going on. Yeah. The snore shouldn't be happening normally. I mean, that's snoring is, but it's always some kind of pressure, something, people getting overweight, that kind of stuff. So bulldogs snore, yeah, that's how they wake up. They always make weird sounds, but that also should have been an indicator that there's some kind of airway restriction going on, and this patient needs to be monitored more closely.
I mean, I guess my biggest concerns are around communication. I don't think they necessarily were informed of the risks. They weren't informed that maybe this would have healed on its own. Maybe we could have done some other form of treatment. I don't know if it would have or not. And quite honestly, you could have given options for treatment, but I don't think that the choice that was chosen was wrong.
No.
Yeah.
But again, how well was that communicated to the owners, and how well did they understand their options for care in their dog? And afterwards, I can't feel like there was good monitoring going on. Were there people in the room walking through in busy practices? Yes, I absolutely 100% believe that.
And what would you call monitoring? What's included besides eyes on? Listening to
heart rate, respiratory rate, gum color.
So you want to do a TPR the whole time, right? So many minutes.
I wouldn't take a dog's temperature over 2 minutes unless I thought there was reason to be concerned about an elevated temperature.
Well, I guess what would you do in what intervals?
Well, I mean, with my bulldogs, when I'm waking them up, I'm honestly going over and poking them in the face constantly. It's honestly, there's always someone right there, and there, I mean, my treatment area is right here, and It's like right here. I mean, my recovery cages are right here. We are absolutely right there. I'm all on them, except for when you're turning around and blinking.
And
so, I mean, you got to watch those kind of kids. Yeah, again, it's nice to have hooked up to ECGs and all those kinds of things, like I did in the school and university for recovery stuff. But it's like you should be really knowing these patients can die at any second. I mean, they stop breathing, they're gone.
And I don't know if even if you had detected it when the dog started declining, that you would have been able to recover these dogs. Some of these, no matter, even if you caught that the dog was having issues, you could have done it. You might have been able to reintubate, maybe if the swelling wasn't so bad that you could still get a tube. You know, there are a lot of things that you might not have been able to affect the outcome, but you wouldn't have found a dog dead.
One thing is,
you would have found it having compromised. You would have found it having, you know, backbone color, breathing heavily. You know, look, there are signs that happen before this, typically, you know, I don't know. I just feel like you found it dead, the dog clearly hasn't been actively monitored.
Yeah, I've seen LARPAR cases and things that will go bad. I mean, the animal's thrashing there. I mean, you think about trying to hold your breath, you're going to gasp, right? You're going to do something. So, I think maybe this animal just passed away and just fell asleep, but most of them thrash a little bit. And maybe it didn't happen, but it's like there was
no vomitus.
No. So it's like this patient was just found dead. I mean, if we found it in the process of dying, that's a different story. This patient was found dead, which tells me he's not being watched. So that's where my concern comes in.
Okay, so
it's a horrible situation.
Again, where in statute or rule is there that monitor interval breed specific monitoring?
But
okay, it wouldn't matter if you went to Deming or there's nothing in Lordsburg, Globe, Wilcox, or Tucson. Everything would have happened exactly the same way. There might have been different communication.
Different medications, different everything, different monitoring, different everything. You can't say that one was destined to die at that one time, no matter what.
No, I was not saying it was destined to die. But I'm thinking if you think the treatment would have been substantially different anywhere else, I don't think so.
I think you definitely would pick medications different. Definitely would not have monitored in a separate room that people were just walking through. So, I don't see malpractice. I don't see a problem with the procedure. I don't necessarily see a problem with the medications. It's like there's different choices and stuff there, but it's the after the fact, the monitoring after that the animal died in their care. And was found dead.
She should have sent it all away.
The animal was found dead.
So she should have sent it all away and let it die at home.
That's why anesthesiologists do it. Get it out.
Yeah.
Let them die at home. It's a whole different animal. So, I mean, yeah, it's if we're going to take on the responsibility of housing that animal because it's the safest thing for them to monitor them and recover them, we are taking that responsibility to keep them safe. Now, again, accidents are going to happen. Things are going to happen. I think this was more than an accident. I think this was more than a tragedy.
Sometimes, postoperatively, the stress of being in a clinic with other dogs and anxiety causes these dogs to breathe even heavier. They start to swell even more. So, if you had sent home at the time this dog was being wounded, I think it probably would have been more relaxed. Would it have prevented what happened? I can't say that the monitoring caused this. I can't say any of that. I think for the owner's sake, we don't know what caused this dog's death, and it could have likely happened regardless of what they did. Because I don't want them feeling like this is their fault. This could have happened regardless. But in looking back at it, are there things that should have been done differently or could have been done better? I think the veterinarian even said that. There were things that could have been done differently as far as documentation, how well the technicians are going over these things with the owners, right? We heard that at least twice.
Mr. Chairman, I have two quick questions. Maybe Dr. Wright and Dr. Jane can elaborate for this layperson. To what extent is the risk elevated for that breed of dog versus a normal dog of that age of another breed? Is it exponential for complications? Is it twice, just ballpark?
I don't know if I can
say. Is it highly likely? Is it, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I can say a number, but I mean, when a bulldog comes in for anesthesia in most, in the hospital, certain orifices are going to pucker a little bit.
Okay, yes, it gotcha.
Because you know things can go wrong.
Well, and I would say just in grooming salons, like having monitored a lot of grooming salons in my career, even grooming salons have different procedures. They're done as express rooms, they're not kept in there very long, they're monitored differently, they can't use a muzzle on them, they can't put them in a kennel dryer. There are things you know about this breed. Now, is that the veterinarian's fault? No, it's the breed. We chose to have a hybrid breed, right?
Right. But if it's my impression from reading the description of the size of the wound, the number of stitches, et cetera, was this more of an elective surgery? Were that kind of risk?
Yeah, but I don't think we can really look at that either because, I mean, I do have some people that are very meticulous about surgery. I mean, I have plastic surgery sutures that I basically use because people don't like scars. And there's some people that are like, the animal's leg fell off and got chopped off by the train that's running around and it's got a stump. Cool, whatever, no big deal. So, I mean, there's a difference between elective and what's needed and all that, in my opinion. Now, it's hard to judge that here. Would this have killed the dog if we wouldn't have done the procedure?
No.
If I've seen massive holes and sides of faces and dogs are hunky-dory happy. But when we undertake it, we just got to make sure it's done the right way.
Right. So, but the elevated risk, my impression is that the owners were not informed of the elevated risk because of the breed of dog. And therefore, they couldn't make the assessment as to whether this was warranted.
That was very clear as far as the severity of the injury versus the risk of the patient. I don't feel that conversation happened. Okay. Do I think that the procedure was justified? Yes. I mean, you need to fix all that. But I would also say, owning a bulldog, you probably already know they're high risk, right? I mean, they were probably told this is the stay if they've had the dog during the stay. But most people that own bulldogs know that this, it's like if you own a Great Dane, you know that it's possible they're gonna twist their stomach. You've been educated on these things through different visits at the hospital or whatever. So I'm not saying they didn't know, I'm just saying I didn't see it in this communication.
Thank you. And like I said, I will say that if this dog would have come into my hospital with a cut lip, I probably would have offered to say, yeah, you can stitch it up. I mean, that's not an uncommon thing. There's no problem offering that off. Being only cosmetic, completely, totally, I still would have done that. So like I said, I don't fault anything in that regard. Like I said, I don't think the surgery was done incorrectly. That's why I'm not looking at my practice here.
So in that scenario that you just talked about, would you say it exactly that way, Cheryl, stitch that up, or would you say, well, wait a minute, let's talk about this. This could be elective cosmetic surgery. Are you sure you want me to do it?
You basically say, yeah, we can do this, or we can just do some medications and see how it recovers and do a little later if it becomes a problem. So, I mean, I give people those choices all the time. It's like there's the Cadillac way of dealing with something. Cadillacs, I don't know if that's still a thing. there's all these things. And some people choose, no, I'm not going to do that. Be it by cost, or they're fine with it, or whatever, it doesn't matter. Like I said, I don't think the doctor was wrong in doing that. I don't think at all. It's just recovery.
And being in practice, I suspect even if they had gone over the risks with this owner, they would have still elected to move forward, because it was still the best thing for the dog was to be stitched and to be fixed, right? So you inform them of the risk, not to scare them off of doing the procedure, but to inform them so that when something like this happens, you're not sitting here today. Like, that's why you tell them. Then they know. Then they go, oh my God, I have a high-risk dog. I do understand the risks. And it makes something like this be a little bit more understandable.
Thank you. Yes. It's a hard, horrible situation, but I do have some issues here. So, I don't know if anybody else has any more comments. But I'll make a motion to find a violation of ARS 3222.32.11 for gross negligence treatment of a patient or practice during this resulting in injury, unnecessary suffering, or death that was caused by careless negligence or the disregard of established principles of correctness.
Second.
May I make a comment that may avoid a motion for reconsideration?
Sure.
There were comments just made that I don't see malpractice. I can't say a lack of monitoring caused what happened. could have happened regardless. And with that, those conclusions that you reach, I question whether you have meet the definition of gross negligence with regard to causation. And you may want to talk to Mark about that.
I think I, so I made some comments. That would be discussion. For my comments. My,
yeah. So,
I don't think we can advertise what would happen. I think that's every case we do.
Well,
you can't say what happened.
I am not going to support a violation for the malpractice or negligence at all. If you want to do something on the records, talk to me. But anything else, I don't think that you could have guaranteed that it would have went anywhere else and turned out any different. There's just, and we've all said, well, I think monitoring could have happened better. Well, okay, maybe, but for all that, it recovered, it took 3 minutes, it recovered nicely.
I think that's the point.
It was monitored, it was up, it was extubated, I mean, they waited until it was sternal, like you do for that kind of breed, before it was extubated. And yeah, they're not checking a sheet and checking the respiration and pulse every time they walk by, which, you know, maybe that's something that's gonna have to happen in every hospital at some point, I don't know. But it wasn't there. There were people walking through, there was people seeing.
Well, now based on records, that people walking through based on after the fact, every 5 to 10 minutes we're checking them. In the records it says there's an hour.
And the animal
was dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't
so
dying.
That's the process.
Okay, because that's the one tech that was writing down the information for the nest.
No, that was the
well,
doctor.
What about
that?
Huh?
That looks like it was from a doctor that this is the timing of the event, that day that it happened, that was the timing, and which is what we heard from the owners as well.
And if we were being checked every 5 to 10 minutes, and if these things were happening, an animal died. I would write chapters and chapters on what we've done in that hour time to protect myself. This was just, we saw it about noon, we saw it dead about 1 o'clock. And there was nothing put in between, which is telling me, was that actually done? I don't know, but I have a medical record, the legal document in front of me saying this dog was ignored for an hour, basically, at least. So that's where my major, I don't think this animal was monitored closely. I think it was found dead. It was found so dead that there was nothing you can do because it died a while ago.
I mean, I think there's a question as to whether we can use professionally acceptable procedures, but I know everybody hates that.
Yeah, that's
not. But that versus negligence, if that's what we're talking about, I think there's an option for that. I feel like there were things that could have been better that may have prevented the outcome, but may not have.
I think what we've heard and seen, we know the medical records were not properly recorded. Because all the observations are in there. All that monitoring is not in there.
And if it wasn't in there, we don't
know.
I said, did it actually happen, so or not?
There's that thing, but that's still a medical record. That's not.
It's a medical record if you believe that it happened.
Yes.
And it wasn't documented. Okay. If you don't believe it happened, it's not a medical records violation. It didn't happen.
Yeah, because the medical records say there was an hour gap.
Yeah.
So are we going to go with the actual medical records, which is a legal document that we go through, or
if it isn't in the records, it didn't happen.
I've had patients pass away in my hospital, and everything goes in that record. Everything. Any communication, anything is put in there because in case something were to come back, I want to have all evidence, not hemming and hawing, and oh, well, we meant to say this and this. So my motion will stand at this point, and we can see where the votes fall.
All right, so we had a second, correct?
No.
Yeah, she seconded. Huh? I thought.
Did someone second? I don't know.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I thought I heard
that. Ms. Solomon seconded.
I think the question is to whether, because gross negligence has injurious results. So the question is, can you make a direct link that that was because of what was done?
It says unnecessary suffering or death that was caused by carelessness, negligence, or disregard, and I think so. You guys are saying
that. Because I don't know that I can say that death was a result of the lack of monitoring. I can say that the lack of monitoring, they didn't expectant. Maybe they could have done something about it, but.
Maybe they could.
But the end result is death. It's like, okay, well, the lack of monitoring led to possibly hypoxia, let's say, and that which led to death. So it's like, well.
As long as we're all comfortable with it and then we talk about it,
I think.
Hang on, we're trying to get someone on the phone and turn it off.
I'm sorry, I just have a question about the monitoring piece. Because when we go to our standards of practice, it talks about monitoring the patient while anesthesia is being administered. And so anesthesia had stopped, and monitoring extended beyond anesthesia, which makes a lot of sense with the bulldog. And then the patient was extubated and, you know, indicated thermal. It's not that you wouldn't give extra attention to bulldogs. I'm just trying to figure out where we're lining this up with, because I definitely see issues with the signed authorization that they know what's going on, because this is sedation. We did it for anesthesia. I also see the issue with not having a verbal or written, you know, estimate that I think would have brought to light what's going to happen if they were a bulldog.
That's why we're not finding a violation under those kinds of things. I mean, the violation is under
part of the practice of medicine.
Yeah, but
you can't document everything you're supposed to do in our rules and statutes. That's like saying, well, if the dog has a tick, you should run a tick fever test. Otherwise, that's a malpractice. You just can't put everything in there. Yeah, sure. To some level, you have to use what is standard for practice and what is normal, and you have to decide for yourself. I mean, that's why we're.
I'm sorry, and I'm not supposed to interrupt, but they got to say one thing, and I just have one thing to say that's completely got skipped over. I'm sorry, but they wouldn't have had the surgery if the doctor would have said, I wouldn't do this on my own pen. They wouldn't have had it.
And that's irrelevant.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so.
The surgery just shouldn't have
been done. I would just say, let the vote go on and go from there. Let's just do that. We're gonna debate this and talk about it forever. So let's just let the vote go. We have a motion in a second. Let's see where we're at and go from there.
All right. Let's do a roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Where do I have to go first?
Alphabetically.
I know. I'm struggling. I'm just going to vote nay.
Ms. Frost?
Nay.
Dr. James?
Nay.
Mr. Lobby?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Nay.
And Dr. Rice and I, so the motion fails.
So I would make a motion in the professionally acceptable procedures, I think it's R301501, as it relates to 32-22-32-12, specific to the communication around what was being performed, the cost of what was being done, whether it was sedation or anesthesia, the risks of doing this in a bulldog, the other treatment options that could have been available should they have chosen for that, and the monitoring that whether it was done or whether it was documented, that should have happened after anesthesia.
Second.
A motion of four and a second. Any further discussion? It's a roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Reyes, a nay. The motion passes.
I'm sorry, that's R311-501-1 for communication.
All right, let the record show with that vote that Dr. James is leaving us. All right, so the board has voted to find violations. This next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings, in fact, conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt disciplinary action.
Mr. Lohi, because this is a formal interview, you just adopted findings of facts and conclusions of law, so you can go ahead and discuss what you would like in the order.
This is an informal interview. We don't typically do that.
It's not a consent that was rejected. There was no consent offer on this.
Right.
Typically, they would do that the following month.
I stand corrected. You may want to reconsider the ISA.
All right, if you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. And this concludes the informal interview. Thank you for being participated today. I'm going to take a break. Yes, I